Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God, the boundless offenders who truly obey, that no man may enter the heavenly way. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Well, opening prayer this morning, be with me. The hymn book number 285, 285. We will sing all three verses of this hymn, 285. Let us sing.
There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one, no, not one. And you know Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet so friend is so weak and lonely. No, not one, no, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, No, not once. No, not once. No night so dark that His love can't cheer us. No, not once. No, not once. And you know, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Let us bow. O kind and merciful Father, we're so grateful and so thankful, Lord, that you woke us up this morning and you opened our eyes and we were able to prepare ourselves to come here in the house of the Lord to give you all the praise, all the honor and the glory that you deserve for being so patient with each and every one of us day by day. We know, Lord, that sometimes we don't deserve your grace and your mercy because of who you are, long-suffering God, patient God, forgiving God. We thank you so much that you continue to give each and every one of us an abundant life through your Son, Jesus, who made all things possible, the perfect Redeemer. His sinless blood was shed on the cross of Calvary. It was so powerful that it cleansed us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Father, for the breath of life. Day by day, you sustain us, you give us strength, and you take care of all our needs. And for this, Father, we are so grateful. And at this time, Father, we have heavy hearts for the disastrous event that's taken place in our foreign neighbor's country, Ukraine. We pray, Father, at this time that we put our trust and our faith in you. Sometimes, Father, it's difficult to see things and to understand why things of this nature might happen. But we have a peace of mind, Father, knowing that you are in charge, and that you are capable of fixing all problems throughout the world. And at this time, Father, we pray for those that are in need of food, shelter. We pray that you will give them the strength, sustain them. We pray, Father, that one day we know that there will be light at the end of the tunnel. And Father, we pray for all of those that might be lost, all of the sinners throughout the world. We pray and we thank you, Father, that they too can have a home in heaven that you've prepared. For all of those that confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and be baptized for the remission of their sins, and that their names will be added to the book of life. And we thank you, Father, for Sister Van Pelt, that she decided to be baptized. thanking you, Father, that her name too can be added to the book of life. And Father, as we enter into this worship service, we pray, Father, that the songs that we sing, the words that proceeded from my mouth, will be acceptable unto thee. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
To prepare our minds for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning, we will sing the hymn book, hymn number 296. 296. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse of this hymn. 296.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dear rest and bless, where the world the lost sinner was slain. So I'll tear the old rugged till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. That old rugged cross, so defined by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my soul is at last down. I will cling to the old rugged and exchange it someday for a crown. Till in that old rugged I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my soul be at last. I will cling to the rugged Lord and exchange it someday for a
Our order of worship service is now the Lord's Supper. We have before us two emblems. We have the bread of life that was crucified on the cross at Calvary. And we have the cup of salvation that was shed for many for the remission of sin. At this time, we have the privilege to partake of the bread. Let us give thanks. We are so grateful unto you, Father, that we can give you recognition, to give you all the praise and honor and glory for allowing your Son to die for all sinners. We are so grateful and thankful that you made a way for us to remember him on the first day of each and every week. And we are honored and we are thankful to partake of this bread in his memory. For we give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's continue. Dear Father, as we remember the death of Christ, help us remember the importance of the shedding of his blood that redeemed us. Help us to remember that not only as we gather about this table, but to remember it in our daily walk. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
If anyone was inadvertently overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper, will you please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. At this time, we have another biblical commandment, and that is to give on the first day of each and every week. And as we give, we should always let our mind reflect back to the cross. God gave us all that He had, the perfect gift, His only begotten Son. So let us pray and give thanks. We're thankful, Father, and that You had kindness in Your heart. And You made and prepared a way for us to give back by supplying all our needs, enabling us to support the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank You for this privilege. We give You praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would please mark the songbook to hymn number 125. 125 will be the song of invitation this morning. 125. And after marking that hymn, if you would please turn your hymn book to hymn number 84. 84. We will sing the first, second, and fourth verse of this hymn. 84, I ask all those who can easily stand to please stand at this time. 84. And let us sing. Dread not the things that are ahead, the burdens raised of sinking sand, the thorns that o'er our paths are spread. God holds the future in His hand. God holds in His hand, and every heart He understands. On Him depends, He is your friend. He holds the future in His hand. We know not what tomorrow hides. A son of storm, or good or ill, we only know His dear hand guide, and He will be our Father still. God holds the future in His hand, and every heart He understands. On Him depend, He is your friend. He holds the future in His hand. So live close to Him and trust His love. Assure that while on earth we roam, whatever may come, He bends above to guide His children safely home. God holds the future in His hand, and every heart He understands. Don't Him depend, He is your friend. He holds the future in His hand. God holds the
future in His hands, and every heart He understands. On Him depends, He is your friend, He holds the future in His hands.
Our reading this morning will come from the book of Amos, chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I'll give you a moment to find that, if you'd like to follow along. It's Amos, chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. I'll be reading from the New King James Version this morning. The lesson is, Prepare to Meet Thy God. And it reads, Therefore thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is, and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is His name. Now we have our lesson by Brother Skippy Norman.
Just want to say good morning. Truly God has been good to us. He spared our lives just one more time to be able to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here, those who are calling in on our conference call. Just glad that you have tuned in and glad that you be a part of this service on this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. Just glad that you came to be a part again of this service this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wise, eternal Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings and opportunity once again that you've given us to assemble ourselves together on this morning. Lord, we just, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there be things that we've fallen short of, that we make sure, Heavenly Father, that we make our calling and election sure by looking over our lives and making corrections that we need to make in our lives. Lord, we ask you to be with us throughout this day. Forgive us of any sin may have committed through thought, word, or deed. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Prepare to meet God. As Amos, the southern prophet, delivered his prophecy to a derelict northern kingdom, God's patience was wearing thin. He had blessed the nation with many great things. He led them out of Egypt, forged a covenant with them, fed them in the wilderness, fought for them during the conquest of Canaan, allowed them to have a king, sent them many warnings when they strayed from him. But yet, despite all of God's goodness, the fickle nation turned its back on God. Does that sound familiar today? When we look at Amos, the fourth chapter, We see three things from this particular chapter. The first thing that we see is that we see Israel's punishment in verse 1 through verse number 5. The prophet, he launches an attack upon a group described as Cain. Now, when you look at that Cain, it was basically cows. In other words, the prophet launched an attack upon the cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria. And this group was the elite women of Samaria who are condemned for acts of oppression committed through the agency of their husband. Bashan was known for its rich pastures and for its thick forests. It was known for being fat and healthy. When you look at Psalms 22 and verse number 12, it mentions a strong bull of Bashan. When you look at Ezekiel 39 and verse 18, it mentions the Lord's livestock, the fatling of Bashan. Amos wasn't a trained prophet. He was simply a simple herdsman, a farmer. And it took courage for Amos to call the wealthy women cows, to picture them being led away to slaughter. In their comfort, in their prosperity, the people thought they were immune from judgment. But it came just the same. They trusted in their mountain positions to protect them from attacks rather than trusting in God. They cruelly oppressed the poor and the needy, the wealthy among them lingered in self-indulgence with attitudes of ease and of pleasure. All of this is in verse number 1. But then, not only that, because of their sins, God promised punishment. He signed a contract for their demise. In verse 2 and verse number 3. See, time was running out for a nation pushing God's long suffering to the limit. This is what's happening in our world today. They are pushing God's long suffering to the limit. The severity of God is real. Even today, he promises destruction on those who refuse to obey him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through verse number 9. People today need to understand that God's love does not contradict, it does not nullify God's justice. Like Israel, there is no escape for us if we refuse to repent. What a tragedy that the people were living in luxury. Verse 1 through verse 3. But then when you look at verse 4 and 5, their wishes were so corrupt that God called them to heap their transgressions one on top of another. The entire list of sins is summed up in God's charge. there in verse number 5. For so you love to do, O people of Israel. But then we see Israel's rejection. Verse 6 through verse number 11. After you have been kind to someone for so long, by supplying their every need, and they repay you with abuse, they repay you with hatred, what are you left to do? This was the situation that God found himself in when dealing with Israel. He blessed them with homes, with land, with families, and with food. But instead of showing gratitude, the people turned to false and intimate gods and idols and rejecting God. We still have this going on today. God continued to bless us with homes and land, with families, but then how do we show our gratitude? Many turn from Almighty God. So God began to withhold his blessings. He withheld the blessings of food in verse 6. He stopped the rain in verse 7 and verse 8. God even brought crop failures to an already starving people in verse 9. He allowed pestilence and wars and destruction to come to their cities in verse 11, 10 and verse 11. And as each blessing disappeared, God waited for their repentance. But each time, they rejected God. He lamented their choice, yet you did not return to me. We, like those of Paul's day, despising the blessings of God and do not allow his goodness to lead us to repent, what will God do to us today? The gleam of light is that God wants us to be saved. He wants to bless us. And even when we forget him, even when we reject him, even when we despise him, don't want to worship him, he continues to do what he can to get us to repent. God's love and dedication to our salvation is constant. For in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then we see, in our text today, we see Israel's final warning. In verse 12 and verse 13. See, this is my favorite part. Because once God took back all his blessings and the people still rejected him, he did not give up on them. He gives them the final warning. In verse number 12, notice what he says, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I would do this unto thee, notice what he said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Notice, prepare to meet thy God. I would do to you, O Israel, because the plan of their destruction is given in verse 2 and verse number 3.
And apparently nothing could stop the advancing of the Assyrian army. But however, God gives them hope in the message of doom. Prepare to meet thy God. But then to emphasize their adversary, God describes himself in verse 13. Look what he says. For lo, he that formed the mountains, created the wind and the cloud and the man, what is his thought that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth? The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. So what hope did God give by encouraging them to prepare? He expected them to repent. Repentance was their hope. It was their only hope. And God dropped hints throughout the chapter, yet you did not return to me. All that God wanted was them to come back to him. Even so today, God seeks repentance. He is dedicated to the salvation of every person. And this was demonstrated in the death of Jesus on the cross. We see it, his love, his law, and his liberty. We witness it in our struggles and in our trials. We embrace it in our blessings and our comfort. And so God has already used several means of disciplining the Israelites during this time: drought, famine, crop, diseases, locusts, plagues, wars, and local catastrophes. And yet, the people did not get the message. God is doing the same thing today. And there are people who still do not get the message. They had met with God's discipline. But the next step was to meet God himself. He was personally coming to judge them. Do you have the confidence to live through life storms knowing that you are prepared to meet God? If not, the warning is given today. Prepare to meet thy God. They simply were not prepared to meet God. What about us today? God has been good to us. God has brought us through another week. Look at your lives. What about you? Are you prepared this morning to meet God? If God was to say to you this morning, time on earth for you is no more, are you prepared to meet God? See, there are three things, and this lesson is yours, that we need to do and that we need to understand. Number one, we each must meet him. All of us, one day, is going to have to meet him. There are thousands of things that we can refrain from doing. Men and women can refuse to pray, refuse to read the Bible, refuse to repent and reform their ways, refuse to make a confession, refuse to be baptized, refuse to worship God, refuse to get involved with the work. But there is one thing we cannot refuse to do. We cannot refuse to meet God. We're going to meet him. But the question is, are you prepared to meet God? The call of death, all of us are going to have to hear. And all of us will obey. But then secondly, we need to understand, not only, let me go back, we each must meet him, because in Hebrews 9:27 it says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this is the judgment. Because our lives on this earth will either end in death, or will it end at the second coming of Jesus Christ? Either way, we still will meet God. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? When you look at that account in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31, and as you read that, I want you to notice. Notice the poor and the rich, both will die. Notice they both must apply the word of God to their lives. Church, all of us are going to be judged. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Every one of us must give an account of our lives to God. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. And now secondly, the second thing that we need to understand is that we may have to meet him sooner than we think. We may have to meet him sooner than we think. The time is uncertain. Delay in other matters, yes, is sometimes wise. But hear me, but all inward that relates to the safety of our soul, delay is dangerous. It's dangerous. And it can have eternal consequences. And so we need to understand James chapter 4, when you look at that, and verse 14, you know, no one knows when we're going to die. Nobody knows how long we're going to live on this earth. James says, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. What is your life? It's nothing but a vapor that appeared for a little while. And then it vanishes away. You remember the parable of the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. You remember what God said in verse number 20. God said to him, thy food, this night, thy soul is required of you. And all the thing that you have prepared, who will it be? Who's going to get it? Because this night, it's over for you. And so, church, listen, the farmer had prepared his physical life, but he did not prepare his spiritual life. Many of us, no doubt, we are prepared. We have prepared our physical life. But what about your spiritual life? Have you prepared for that? God saw him. God heard him. And God addressed him by saying, thy food. His conclusion, his end was sudden. It was unexpected in the midst of prosperity, in the midst of plans, in the midst of dreams. It all ended that night. His end was dreadful. His things were gone to somebody else. He was unprepared. Yes, he was prepared physically, but he was unprepared spiritually. Listen, what will your conclusion be like? Will you be prepared? Or will you be unprepared? That rich farmer's life was cut short. Your life right now could be cut short. We don't know whether we're going to live to see the rest of this day. Only God in heaven. Only God knows. When things were going well, when death was least expected, listen, no matter who we are, none of us are exceptions to death. The rich, the young, the healthy, the smart, the good, the no good, all is going to die before their time. And many times we sometimes say, today may be the only chance. And it's true. Today might be the only chance that you have to get it right with God. Just imagine if the rich farmer would have been preparing for heaven as he were preparing for his earthly wealth, his conclusion would have been a different. Thirdly, sooner or later, everyone runs out of time. Sooner or later, every one of us are going to run out of time. The retirement that you spent your life working for will be gone forever. Remember the new car that you worried about scratching? Its new owner just wrecked it. The newlyweds bought your house and have redecorated the room that you had last decorated to your liking. Your personal belongings have been sorted and some discarded. The dog is making a bed out of your favorite old coat. Other clothes of yours and that no one could wear or did not want have been boxed and given to the goodwill. Your personal treasures that were valuable only to you, somebody else will decide now. You attended a number of funerals in your lifetime, but for some reason you just never expected that you would be lying in the casket yourself. Sure, you said someday, but not that particular day. Someday you will get your life together. Someday you will come back to service. Someday you will get involved. Why is it always someday? God says today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Tomorrow is not promised to any man. The only time you have is today. Much sooner than you can anticipate, you will be silent guest at your own funeral. No doubt there'll be relatives, there'll be friends, who are there to mourn for you who haven't seen you in years. After the preacher delivers a message, and in your memory, you'll be taken to the graveyard. then you'll be given a final farewell. And you'll be buried. Then they will go on, continue to live their lives. Church, some sooner or later, every one of us is going to run out of time. But no one runs out of eternity. Doesn't it make sense more so to spend our time preparing for that which will not end, rather than squandering our time trying to hold on to those things which are not going to last? We sometimes sing, "Careless soul, oh heed that warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment unprepared to meet thy God." To meet the Lord unprepared will be the greatest calamity of all being. How will you meet your Maker if you neglect the preparation? What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? Church, we don't have to wonder how to get prepared to meet God. He tells us in His Word how you prepare. You've heard the Word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You got to be willing to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Go out in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. When you come up out of that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Lord adds you to His church. The church that He set up on this rock I build, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church that He purchased with His own precious blood. He's the head of it. He's the Savior of it. He's coming back for it. It's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But it's going to be holding without blemish. If you're here not, you know, if you're here in a Christian, not been living as a Christian, maybe you're not prepared to meet Him. Now is the time to get prepared. So I want you to just think about your life this morning in reference to God. If you have any doubt in your mind that if the God was to call you right now that you are not ready, now is the time to get ready. God knows you. God knows whether you are prepared or not. But He's given you that opportunity to get it right. Don't worry about what folk think. Don't worry about how they look. Now it's between you and God. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was my but Jesus.